Starting last week and for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer. Most Christians don't realize that they have any authority. And so we're always kind of waiting around for God to do something. We're waiting around for God to take charge. But we have authority. Say this. Say, we have authority.
We have authority.
Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Say, Jesus has given me authority.
Jesus has given me authority. Jesus has given me authority.
I have authority.
I have authority.
I have authority.
I have authority.
So turn to Luke chapter 10. And what I want you to see from this is that in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, is a picture of what the church, what we as Christians are supposed to be like. This, you know, when I grew up in church, we kind of had the idea miracles happen. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and so we believed in miracles and all that kind of stuff. But we kind of had the idea that it was super special people, you know, there was just something super special about them, and they're the ones who did those kind of things. And, you know, at the top of our list would have been, you know, the 12 apostles, or I guess really we should say the 11 apostles, right? Because I don't know about that 12th one, right? You know what I'm saying? But at the top of our list would have been these apostles. And we thought of them like, you know, these are these super spiritual people. And they were pretty super spiritual. But there was just something special about them. And boy, you know, nobody approached them. And man, they were just something. But you know, when you start reading the Bible, you discover that these guys weren't so special and so wonderful. You know what I'm saying? They were just normal people, just like me and you. I mean, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You know what I'm saying? Lots of times they'd get into fights with each other about who's going to be Mr. Big around here. So they were just ordinary people. And in Luke chapter 10, we read about these 70 people that Jesus sent out. And this is a picture. This shows us an example. This is sort of the pattern of what the church is supposed to be doing. Look here in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, verse 3, Luke chapter 10, verse 3, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Verse 4, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, shalom, or peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it, and if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, verse 8, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God is where God's rule shows up. The kingdom of God is where God is reigning. The kingdom of God is where God's will shows up on the scene. So he said, heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God, God's rule is come nigh unto you. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, verse 11, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So everybody wasn't going to receive them. They were going to go and heal the sick, but everybody wasn't going to necessarily, you know, like their message, which wasn't going to receive them, right? But he said, in spite of that, say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Verse 12, but I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day, which day? The day of judgment, the day when God judges everyone, in that day for Sodom than for that city. In other words, they rejected the disciples, his disciples, when they came telling about the kingdom of God. And he says, even Sodom, Sodom's pretty bad, right? You know, when we say, you know, something bad, we say Sodom. But even these people that rejected the disciples, they were going to be in worse shape than Sodom, right? Now skip down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Say, through thy name.
Through thy name.
Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Say, the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So he said, they came back and they told him what? They said, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The devils are subject unto us through thy name. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You know, lots of times in our Western, how were they subject to him? What was it that gave them power and authority over the devils? His name. They're subject unto us through thy name. It was the name of Jesus that gave them authority over the devils. Can you see that? You know, watch, turn back to chapter 9 real quick, and it says here, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. How did he give them power and authority over all devils and to heal diseases? How did he do that? What was it he gave them? He said to them, yeah, he said they could use his name. They have the right to use his name. You know, like, it's basically the same thing he's saying over here in chapter 10, verse 19. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, God gives unto us power. And authority.
And authority.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Say, devils are subject unto me. Through his name. Say, devils are subject unto me. Through Jesus' name. Say, devils are subject unto me. Through Jesus' name. Becky and I were watching this movie yesterday. It's called The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Has anybody seen that? It's pretty freaky. It's supposedly based on a true story that happened in Germany revolving around this exorcism that they tried to perform on this girl. And she died as a result. And as a result of her dying, they put the priest that was performing the exorcism, they put him on trial. And he was convicted, and I don't know how long he was sentenced. But anyway, this movie is sort of based on that story, only it takes place here in the United States. And it's about an exorcism, the girl dies, and then the priest is on trial about it. And the whole movie is sort of the question of, do demons and devils really exist? You know, the prosecution got their witnesses out there, you know, to say, oh no, this was just a psychological condition. You know, she had epilepsy. That's why she'd get stiff, you know, and they'd show these scenes, you know, kind of, she'd be all like this and twisted around and, you know, like this. And the doctor for the prosecution, he comes, oh no, that's just a weird form of epilepsy. And the visions, that's some kind of psychosis and all this. And so the movie's kind of about that, about what do we believe about devils and demons. Is it just real stuff? Is there no devils and demons? It's all just psychological, physical, biological conditions. And really good movie. You should go see it. There's nothing. The one we got was unrated version. Becky picked that one up and there was nothing nasty or anything in it that I can recall. And it's really interesting in terms of what do we think as a culture? Do these things exist? I remember one time when we were first had started listening to Pastor Price, you know, started first hearing about Dad Hagen, and we're reading some of his books, and he has this series of books about devils and demons and stuff like that. You know, do they exist? Do they not exist? How do you deal with devils and demons? And one time my mom and dad were driving home. They'd come to visit us up in Los Angeles, and they're driving home reading this book about devils and demons of Papa Hagen's. And my mom's kind of reading it aloud while my dad's driving away. And And my mom stops and she says, "Oh, do you believe this stuff? This is ridiculous. You don't believe this stuff." And my dad says, you know, my dad grew up in Mexico, so they have a little different perspective on it. He says, "Oh, yeah, that stuff's real, man. Devils and demons are real." Can you see that? But here's what I want you to see. Say this. Say, God has the devils, even the devils are subject unto us through his name.
Even the devils are subject unto us through his name.
Say, the devils are subject unto us through his name. Say, the devils are subject unto us through his name. Through his name. It's the name of Jesus which gives us authority over the devils. Watch, turn over to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. It says over there in Luke chapter 9 that he gave them power and authority over to heal diseases and to cast out demons. Over here in Luke chapter 14, we read this same idea. I mean, in John chapter 14, we read this same idea. And he says this in verse 12, John chapter 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Say, he that believeth on me. So he that believeth on Jesus, say, he that believeth on Jesus,
he that believeth on Jesus,
the works that he did,
the works that he did,
shall he do also.
Shall he do also.
Hallelujah. So if you believe on Jesus, you're supposed to be able to do the works of Jesus, right? Amen. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Verse 13, and now all I want you to see is that Jesus has given us the right to use his name. And verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," say, "ask in my name,
ask in my name,
that will I do,
that will I do,
that the Father may be glorified in the Son."
That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
"If you shall ask anything in my name,"
"you shall ask anything in my name,"
say, "if you shall ask anything in my name,"
"you shall ask anything in my name,"
"I will do it."
"I will do it."
"If you shall ask anything in my name," "I will do it."
"I will do it."
So over there in Luke chapter 10, they said, "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Over here in John chapter 14, he's saying that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, God, he will do it. Jesus will do it. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Jesus has given us the right to use his name.
Hallelujah.
It's through his name that we can rule and reign over demons. It's through the name of Jesus that we can exercise authority over devils and demons. Look here in verse 15, John, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Verse 16, he that, what is the gospel? He says, preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Thank you, Miss Kim. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Just keep your place there in Mark 16, but turn back to the beginning of Mark chapter 1. Verse 14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying," what did Jesus come preaching? Say, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Some Bibles say the gospel of God, but I think the gospel of the kingdom of God is probably correct there. Say, the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying. So what did he say when he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God? Verse 18, what did he say? "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Say, the time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Say, the time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Okay, now turn back to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So what was preaching the gospel? What was it they were supposed to say? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I'm not making that up, am I? Verse 16, he that believeth. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel, right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, say, in my name.
In my name.
These signs shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name.
In my name.
Who are these signs going to follow? Them apostles? Them prophets? Them evangelists, them special saints of God. No, these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs will follow? In my name shall they cast out devils. Say, in my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. So believers have the right to use Jesus' name, right? Yes. We can see that from here, from Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. We can see it from from John chapter 14, where Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Say, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Turn back to John 14, because let me just review real quick. I've mentioned this to you several times before, but in John chapter 14, verse 13, I remember one time Becky and I were in jet. This was like last year, I think. I don't remember, but it wasn't too long ago. Becky and I were in Jack in the Box. We have lunch every day together. You know, she has like about 40-minute lunch from school, and so we'll go out to lunch every day together, or, you know, sometimes she'll come home. We were sitting in Jack's one day, and one of these homeless people came into Jack's. This is the one over on Imperial next to Vaughn's, right? What's that other street there?
Euclid.
Imperial and Euclid, there by, you know, across the street from where Winchell's used to be. And so this homeless guy came in there, into the restaurant, and we're sitting there, and we walked in, and as soon as I saw him, something on the inside of me said, oh my God, this guy's got an evil spirit. You know, I don't usually think that when I see homeless people, but when I saw this guy, something on the inside of me said, uh-oh, this guy's got an evil spirit. And so I was just kind of watching to him, and Becky and I got our food, watching him. Becky and I got our food, and we were sitting down, and I said to Becky, that guy's got an evil spirit. And she says, yeah, I know, or something like that. And so we're kind of watching him. He's kind of going around playing with the soda machines and stuff, and I'm kind of waiting for the employees there at Jack's to come do something about it, because he's, you know, you don't want to eat at a restaurant where some homeless guy is putting his hands all over the soda machines, you know what I'm saying? And so, but they were kind of scared of him, you could kind of tell, you know, they're all like, oh, God. You know, yeah, they probably did. Hallelujah. Well, that's what happens in this movie about the exorcism of Emily Rose. She's, the doctors and stuff who had actually participated in the stuff, that they said, oh, man, that was real. That was real deal. I could tell. I felt that, man. There was nothing psychological about that. But anyway, so we're watching him for a little bit, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, what my thought was, well, you know, this is one of Lori's restaurants. I don't want them messing up her restaurant. And so I said to Becky, you know, she was getting a little upset. I said, Becky, well, just tell him to leave. Tell that evil spirit. We're not telling the man to leave. We're telling the evil spirit, we don't have authority over the wills of people. We have authority over evil spirits. Can you see that? Even the spirits are subject unto us through thy name. Can you see that? Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Can you see? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall what? They shall cast out people. No, they shall cast out demon. And so we're sitting there, and I just said to Becky, well, just command that demon to go. And you know, the guy recognized us. You know how they say that Jesus would walk into the synagogue and the people would kind of recognize him? The people who were demon-possessed would recognize him? The guy looked right at us. And you could tell, I could tell he knew who we were. And we knew who he was, you know what I'm saying? But nobody else was paying any attention. And so Becky says, go in Jesus' name. Says the demons are subject unto us through his name. The demons are subject unto us through the name of Jesus. Say, demons are subject unto me. Subject means they're your subjects. That, you know, when you're a king, what do you have? You got subjects. That means you can order people around, right? The demons are subject unto us. They're under our rule through Jesus' name. And so Becky says, you know, go. Not speaking to the man, speaking to that devil. And a few minutes later, you know, faith operates in this, you know. So we don't sit there and say, well, let's see if it's going to work. No, he's not moving. No, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. We're casting that demon out of the restaurant, right? We're casting him out of there so he'll stop messing up Miss Lori's restaurant. And so he said, in my name shall they cast out demons. But we're not sitting there watching him, seeing, oh, let's see if anything happens. Let's see if anything happens. He said, these signs shall follow them that what?
Believe.
Them that believe. Them but believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. So, you know, one thing you learn after a while of walking by faith, you learn how faith works. And so we just said, okay, it's done. Now let's go back to eating our food. And I remember Dad Hagen telling a story. I don't remember if this actually happened to Dad Hagen or if this happened to somebody else. But there was a person who was sick, you know, was apparently, you know, demon possessed. And they'd been in an insane asylum or whatever. And I guess they'd give them time to come home sometimes, like, you know, once a year they could come home for a couple days to see their family or something. And so, you know, she's the lady who was demon-possessed or insane, the doctors would say, she started having one of these fits and going crazy. And so they called up Papa Hagen and said, come down. You know, she's going crazy again. You know, she's having one of these fits. And so he went down there and he says, devil, go! And she didn't look any different. He turned around, he walked home. Okay, the devil's got to go. Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out demons. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Lots of times we prefer to do something in the flesh, you know, because it's easier to be in the flesh than it is to walk in the spirit. We prefer to go, you know, because we can do, but walking by faith, that's a whole different story. You know what I'm saying? And so you'll see people go through all sorts of human things, all sorts of physical things to cast out demons. Well, I tell you right from the get-go, there's nothing you're going to do physically to cast out the demons. They ain't physical. Do you know what I'm saying? So here, throw up in this bucket. Some people, throw up in this bucket. We'll get that demon out of you. Well, you know, doing physical things isn't going to cause demons to go out. It's them that believe. It's through faith in his name. It's his name through faith in his name that will cause the demons to go. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Say, even the demons are subject unto us through his name.
Even the demons are subject to us through his name.
So Dad Hagen goes to this crazy lady and or possessed lady, whatever, and he says, come out! And you know, she's still acting crazy. Ah, whatever she's doing, he gets out and says, okay, I'll see you later. The demon has to go. He walked out the door and he said, the way he expressed it, the people were kind of like, well, yeah, come on, dance around, you know, shake the tambourine, you know, do something. It's not in your ability. It's not in your physical power that demons are going to go. It's through faith. Faith. Faith what? Faith believes what? When you speak the name of Jesus, faith believes it's done. Can you see that? It's the name. It's just speaking the name of Jesus that causes it to be done. Dad Hagen told another story about a young man. He was just starting out preaching, and there was a person who was tremendously sick. And he didn't really know what to do. He'd never, you know, kind of been through this stuff. They call him over to pray, and he said they sat down, and he just began saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all he knew to do. He just began saying, Jesus, Jesus. And he'd notice that when he'd say Jesus, the lady would calm down, you know, and the problem would kind of calm itself down. Jesus, Jesus. And then he'd stop, it'd come back. And so he said, after a while, he caught on. Wait a second. When I say Jesus, it stops. When I stop saying Jesus, it comes back. And so they kept it. He told the people, let's just keep saying Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the lady was eventually healed. It's the name of Jesus. It's the authority that's vested in that name. It's not any physical tantrum. It's not speaking in 15th century English. Thus saith the Lord, O demon whore. Must remove thyself. It's not speaking in 15th century English that casts out demons. It's the name of Jesus. Say, it's the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the name of Jesus. Lots of times we in our flesh, we want to put on a performance, you know. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we're doing something, but it's the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Say, it's the name of Jesus. And so Dad Hagen walked out. He said, come out of this, you know, insane lady or possessed lady, you know. And he walked out the door. He said, okay, it's got to come out. And he says two or three days later. Two or three days. Say two or three days.
Two or three days.
They called her up and said, well, she all of a sudden she just started shaking and falling on the floor and foaming at the mouth. And now she's okay. And now she's okay. He says, yeah, that was that demon finally leaving. Hallelujah. But it was his name through faith is in his name. What I want you to see is that it's faith in the name of Jesus that causes stuff to happen. Can you see that? So we're here in Jack in the Box, and I say to Becky, just command that. And Becky has a lot of faith for the name of Jesus. You know, she's one of those people. You know, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out what you got a lot of in your heart, that's what comes out of your mouth. Can you see that? And so whenever we're in an accident, you know, sometimes you're driving along, somebody cuts in front of you, you have to slam on the brakes or something like that, you know. You're about to be in an accident. And the first thing out of my mouth is, ah! You know what I mean? And the first thing out of Becky's mouth is, in the name of Jesus! In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you know what I'm saying? One time when we were in college and we were involved in these door-to-door sales thing, we were going around door-to-door and we'd started out in Inglewood because, you know, we were going to church there. And while we were there, some people had invited us over to more south centrally area there by Vermont and 79th, 80th, and there's, you know, so some of those neighborhoods are really nice. Yeah. Anyway, so these people said, well, come over and put one of those things in my house, you know, and so we went over there, and people were interested. We were selling these little, door viewers, we call them. Door viewers, not peoples. And we'd put them in, sell them, you know, for $10. And, well, you know, you live in a rough neighborhood. That's an important thing to have. You know, you like to be able to see who's outside your door. You know what I mean? When they come knocking. And so they had said, please come over and put one in my house. So we went over there. And while we're there, we said, oh, well, let's just go right here. So we're going door to door, knocking on doors, selling, you know, door viewers. And we one time we're walking down the street. And South Central is not like people picture it. You know, there's lots of nice homes down there, actually. You know, there's some really, it used to be a really nice area, so there's some really nice homes. But then there'll be patches of, like, apartments and stuff that get really kind of gangy. And this wasn't even the worst part of South Central, so, you know, this was okay part. So we're walking along, and we're walking down the street saying, oh, well, let's see where we go next, you know. And all of a sudden, about 8 or 9 kids teenagers come running across the street towards us. I mean, looking mad. And I'm thinking, okay, it's time for kid dynamite to show up here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, man, I said, you see, you know, I mean, you're a white guy. You're walking in South Central. You see 8 black teenagers running across the street at you. You know what I mean? With their pants hanging down here and, you know, doing all. And so I'm thinking, okay, these guys are in big trouble now. You know what I'm saying? And
And I thought, oh, we're going to be in a fight here, man. This doesn't look good. And they came running up to us. And have you ever noticed, after a while, if you'll pay attention to spiritual things, you can notice that people have a countenance of the devil. Do you understand what I mean? It's almost as though there's a dark cloud over them, you know. Or you've noticed it this way. Have you ever run into somebody and you knew they were a Christian before they said anything? There was just kind of a glow about them. There was something about them. You couldn't tell what it was. You know, it wasn't anything they said, but you just knew. You know, you just knew that was a Christian. Well, it works the other way too. You can see people who are under the influence of the devil, and it seems to look like something physical, but it's not anything physical. It kind of looks like a cloud or something. Not really a cloud, but you can tell there's something wrong with their face. You know, there's something about it that is not right. And that's what these guys kind of look like. And so they come running across the street at us. And I'm thinking, oh, man, we're going to be in a fight. And they get up right in front of me, right here like this, running right in front of us. And I hear behind me Becky saying, in the name of Jesus. And as she says that, all of a sudden, I mean, they're running towards us. All of a sudden, whoop, they just stop like that in their tracks. I mean, she didn't say, in the name of Jesus. She didn't say that. She just said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. They didn't even hear it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was quiet. I could bear it. I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, you better get the stick, lady. We're in trouble here. But as God is my witness, you can go ask Becky. The minute she said, in the name of Jesus, those guys are running up, and all of a sudden, boom, it's like they stopped suddenly. And all of a sudden, they're all smiles. Hi. Oh, we thought you were the police. We thought you were. It didn't even make sense. You thought we were. So you ran up to the police like that. Yeah. Crime in progress. Anyway, it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. One time more. It's not any physical ability. It's his name through faith in his name, which will give you authority where the authority is. Can you see that? One time we were going for a walk where we lived. We lived over in, at that time we lived sort of by, in what would be Koreatown, really. But next to Koreatown is a real nice area, Larchmont Village. Very nice. I mean, I think Michael Jackson had a house around there and stuff, you know, so it's very beautiful homes and nice. And so we like to go over, we'd leave our apartment and we walk over a few blocks and walk through, you know, Larchmont. And we're walking along there, and all of a sudden this dog came up. Little one of those little yappy dogs, you know, it's all, you know, the most. Yeah, exactly, you know. And he's barking at him. And I'm kind of, you know, you can't kind of see him because they move so fast, they're torn. Where is he? I'm going to kick him. And all of a sudden, as God is my witness, Becky said, in the name of Jesus, as God is my witness, that dog took off. Like, as far as I know, I did not touch him. I mean, I'm looking for him. Where is he? He's down here. You know, they're circling. Becky said, in the name of Jesus, that dog took off running. Hallelujah. One other time when we were selling the little door viewers there, door to door, we'd gone up, and this lady had wanted one for her apartment. So, but she didn't have the money, so she said, come back on Friday and I'll pay you for it. And so I said, okay, we'll go ahead and put it in for you. We'll come back on Friday. We'll get the $10, you know. And so we went back there to get the $10, and now her husband's shown up, you know what I mean? He's not there all day long, so what does he care about a door viewer, you know? I'll put one of those in there for you. Yeah, 5 years from now, you know? And so I said, you're coming over here. Man, he got in our face. You're over here taking my $10 and all this. And I'm thinking, You know, he's a big guy, you know, one of these big black guys, about 6'8", about 400 pounds, you know. And he's getting in our face, you know what I'm saying? And I hear Becky behind me, He said, in the name of Jesus. And as God is my witness, all of a sudden, oh, okay, it'll be okay, and all this. And he just completely changed. You know, I mean, she didn't make a big scene. He couldn't hear her. All I heard, I heard her whispering behind me, in the name of Jesus. One time when Becky was working she started working at a CPA firm after college. And this was back in the mid-80s when everybody didn't have computers like today, right? You know, I mean, the little laptop computer that Jeremiah has is like, you know, 100 times more powerful than this big, big computer they had in those days in this accounting firm in this big air-conditioned room, you know? And so part of her job there at the CPA firm was to back up records from another business that was on the other end of Los Angeles, and they'd back up their records on the accounting firm's computer, right? And it was a hard thing, and it was always crashing, and if it crashed, they had to start from the beginning. And if they didn't do it, the records would be lost for that day. It's not like we imagine today everybody had a hard drive, you know, and no, it's not like that, you know. And so she was in there with her boss, Joni, and they're in there with the computers. They're starting to back up. And she said something happened. And when that would happen, a crash was beginning. And so she didn't want to stay there late or anything and work on the thing. And so when she saw this happen, she said, in the name of Jesus, you will not crash. She said, Joni looked at her like, oh. Okay, I'll wait for you outside, Becky. But the thing didn't crash, you know, and they were able to continue finishing doing their thing. Hallelujah. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have authority in the name of Jesus.
I have authority in the name of Jesus.
Say, even demons are subject unto me.
Even demons are subject unto me.
Through Jesus' name.
Through Jesus' name.
Say, even demons are subject unto me.
Even demons are subject unto me.
Through Jesus' name. So we're there in Jack in the Box. You guys forgot about Jack in the Box, huh?
No, I'll
remind you. Hallelujah. So we're sitting there in Jack in the Box, and this, you know, homeless guy, you know, he's causing trouble, and I know in my heart, that guy's got an evil spirit. And I believe he could tell, because he kept looking at us like, you know. And so I said to Becky, just command it to go in Jesus' name. But it's through faith in his name is what I wanted you to see. So we went back to eating our lunch. Okay, we're going to eat our hamburger. We're eating our hamburger. And you know, the devil keeps saying, well, look to see if he's going to go. Check to see if he's going to go. Check it. What do I need to check it out? Jesus said, they shall, in my name, you shall cast out demons. He said, the demons will be subject unto you through my name. He said, whatsoever you shall demand in my name, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So Becky had already done that. Go in Jesus' name. Go. She didn't make a big deal out. She just kind of said, in Jesus' name, go. We're talking to the spirit, you know, not to the people there in the restaurant. And we didn't want them to kick us out, you know what I'm saying? Did you hear what that lady said? Anyway, so we're sitting there. All of a sudden, he gets up. He walks out the door. Takes off on about his business. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, demons are subject unto us.
Demons are subject unto us.
Through Jesus' name.
Through Jesus' name.
Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I have authority.
I have authority.
Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I have authority.
I have authority.
Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I have authority.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, let's just stop right there. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus.